Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage. Just another manic
Monday. Well, it's not really a manic Monday. Everyone's asleep. You know, they're celebrating a very important holiday, and you know how they celebrate in America. They're remembering all the heroic struggles of Martin Luther King Jr. by doing what? I don't know. What are they doing? Aren't there enough holidays in America? Let's see. The left got rid of Washington's birthday. They got rid of Lincoln's birthday because they said their name for men. And then they gave us a holiday for a man named Martin Luther King Jr. Now, I happen to think that Martin Luther King Jr. was a wonderful man, a fine man who did great work. And I've said it before. And I was very moved when I visited the site where he was assassinated in Tennessee last year. And I talked about that. But I don't believe that there should be a holiday named for him when the holiday was not named for Washington and Lincoln. Why did they remove their names? What's coming next? Cesar Chavez Day, but no Washington, no Lincoln? This is how the left works. But let's put that aside and let's not quibble. We have a section on the show now called Pope Watch, because it seems every other day the Pope is either drinking too much of that papal wine or something worse. Maybe he's reading Das Kapital in the original German and taking it literally. Because in addition to saying he's now an expert on global warming, he's also an expert on freedom of speech, where he said there should be limits on freedom of speech because he's the Pope and no one should criticize a religion, along with four imams. Here's a shocker. On the papal plane today, we don't know whether it was after one, two, or three little bottles of papal wine, the Pope says birth control ban doesn't mean breed like rabbits. Now, if you thought I was making this up for fun, you're wrong. I don't mock the Pope. I take religious figures quite seriously. But here's what he said aboard the papal plane after we don't know one, two, or three little bottles of papal wine. Pope Francis said Catholics should not feel they have to breed like rabbits, and I'm quoting him, because of the church's ban on contraception. Pope Francis said on Monday. Francis used the unusually frank language. Notice how it's frank language when he says it, and when I say it, it's something else. During an hour-long news conference on the plane from Manila to Rome at the end of his week-long Asia trip. Notice how the Associated Press covers it up by saying, the freewheeling encounters have become a hallmark of Francis's simple style, his penchant for straight talk, and his ease at using colloquialisms to make his point. I've never seen a journalist describe Michael Savage in that manner. Wouldn't it be nice if they said Michael Savage's freewheeling encounters have become a hallmark of Savage's simple style, Savage's penchant for straight talk, and his ease at using colloquialisms to make his point? No, they call me every name under the sun, the left-wing vermin do. And then he goes on with more yet. He talked about birth control, population. And he said, some think, excuse me if I use the word, that in order to be good Catholics, we have to be like rabbits. But no, he said, adding the church promote a responsible parenthood. The leader of the 1.2 billion strong Roman Catholic Church. Well, anyway, you get the picture. The church approves only natural methods of birth control, principally abstinence from sex during a woman's fertile period. In Sri Lanka and the Philippines, Pope Francis condemned what he called an ideological colonization, attacking traditional family values in developing countries. On the plane, he indirectly criticized rich countries and international organizations, which he said try to influence lifestyles and morals of young people in poorer nations, comparing their activity to that of 20th century Nazi and fascist propagandists. I swear to God. He said rich countries and international organizations are acting like Nazi and fascist propagandists. He told of an education minister he once knew who was offered loans to build schools for the poor, but on condition their library stocked a book on gender theory, the questioning of traditional male and female roles. This is ideological colonization. They colonize people with ideas that try to change mentalities or structures. I actually agree with them. So in other words, he's attacking homosexual propagandists now and saying they're like Nazis and fascists? Is that what he's saying? He said, but this is not new. This was done by the dictatorships of the last century, citing the Hitler Youth and Balilla, its Italian equivalent on the fascist dictator Benito Mussolini. And there's Pope Watch for you today on the Savage Nation. Now let's open with something very interesting. My producer, Jim Verde, put together a little piece for you. And you have to understand, it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is very important to a certain number of people in the population. I have long felt it should be named Ethnic Day rather than Martin Luther King Jr. Day, because we're told that it just doesn't stand for African Americans. It stands for all ethnic people. Well, if it stands for all ethnic people, why not call it Ethnic Day? Wouldn't that make sense? I mean, there are other ethnicities in America other than Caucasian and African American. So why not call it Ethnic Day? Does that make sense, or is that offensive? Is that offensive to you? Now, I was one of the living people in media who actually heard Martin Luther King Jr. speak live. I was a very young school teacher in Manhattan, and he was speaking outside the UN in the street. I was very moved by his voice, number one. I mean, look, I was young. I don't know, 20 years old, 21. And when I heard him give that speech out there, my body vibrated. I wouldn't say I reacted the way Chris Matthews did to Barack Obama's speech, but I did feel a vibration from his great rhetorical skills and his tremendously powerful voice, and I was moved by it. And I don't have to give you my bona fides. When I went to Memphis last year, when the plane I was on had to do a forced landing, and I was spent hours in Memphis, and we took a tour of a number of things, including the best ribs on Beale Street, as much beer as I could possibly swill in an hour. And then I said to the driver, where should I go? He said, oh, you have to see Martin Luther King Jr.'s. I said, yeah. So we went to the Lorraine Motel, which is, it really moved me. And I did an homage to Martin Luther King Jr. Don't ever forget that one, you know. Don't paint me with your left-wing tar brushes. It's only going to leave stains on your own overalls, let me tell you that. It doesn't work anymore. But Martin Luther King Jr. is not Barack Obama. Martin Luther King Jr. is not Eric Holder. Martin Luther King Jr. is not, make it clear, Al the criminal. I won't even finish the last name. The hate coming from the black leadership in America today is something Martin Luther King Jr. would have been revolted by. Because when he gave his I Have a Dream speech, he said he was interested in a day when little white children and black children could join together, and he was more interested in the color of, didn't he say the character of a man's soul rather than the color of his skin? Well, I challenge you to tell me the day Obama talked about the character of the skin, or Eric Holder, or whatever his name is, that cretin from MSNBC. When have they talked about anything other than color? And that's why I've said, we've gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme. So listen to this now in that context in the Savage Nation.
I have a dream. One day, this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creeds. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
I think Cracker is a certain personification of a certain type of person down south, just like Redneck. I mean,
though this nation has proudly thought of itself as a ethnic melting pot, in things racial, we have always been, and we, I believe, continue to be, in too many ways, essentially a nation of cowards.
For the first time in my adult lifetime, I'm really proud of my country.
And when you look at what's happened in law enforcement across the country over the last several years, that's not news to African Americans. What's different is simply that some of it's now videotaped.
God damn America, that's in the Bible, for killing innocent people. God damn America, for treating our citizens as less than human.
I have a dream. My poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
I challenge anyone listening to this program to prove to me that Eric Holder, Barack Obama, Al Sharpton, or any of the other race insiders in this country talk about the character of individuals rather than skin color. They are actually the opposite of what Martin Luther King Jr. wanted for this country. They are the sharp men. They are the men that he knew were to be avoided at all costs. And look where we are as a nation today, more divided than since the civil rights movement, We are in a new Cold War because of Obama's bungling and his hatred for Russia and his desire to appease the socialist European Union. The nation may look like it's in good shape, but I don't see it that way. Nevertheless, I thought I would give you a little taste of the back story on the Savage Nation today. It is a day that most Americans are working, except those in government. Of course, they have every opportunity you can imagine to take days off. But the guys who work for me, Robert Borowski, Jim Verne, Doug Lynn up in Oregon, the other, they're all working. I'm working. But the government, isn't the government shut down today? The only benefit of the government being shut down today is the pollution from the postal trucks will be diminished and the CO2 levels will not rise. The plants will starve for little CO2 today. There are so many other stories that I have to get to, and I'm not going to throw them all out just to hook you because they're here. They're near. They're everywhere. We'll talk about American Sniper. We'll talk about New York City may be forced to yank a terrorism report to appease mosque spying critics. That's right. You didn't see that story in your local rag? In top secret talks to settle federal lawsuits against the NYPD for monitoring mosques, New York is weighing a demand that it scrub from its website a report on Islamic terrorists. I swear to God, this is how far it's gone. And wait, yes, there's more. This comes from a major cleric, a Muslim cleric. Whenever it's negative, they call it an Islamic cleric. Whenever it's sort of not negative, they call it an Islamic imam. He's a cleric when it's sort of negative. And anyway, Islamic cleric advocates marriage between kids and adults. That's what the religion of peace says, he said, according to the Quran. I'm quoting him. I'm not saying it. Here's what he said. For Muslims who believe the Quran, there is nothing such as an age limit for marrying. There aren't any obstacles for marrying at 10, 7, or 6, he added. A Turkish cleric supports marriage between children and adults, he said. For Muslims who believe in the Quran, there is nothing such as an age limit for marrying. There aren't any obstacles for marrying at 10, 7, or 6. And he said, children can even marry before puberty, said the religious man. There can be marriages between children or between a child and an adult. For example, a marriage between a 7-year-old girl and a 25-year-old man, or a 7-year-old boy and a 25-year-old woman. There are no inconveniences preventing their marriage, said the holy man. So now you can understand why the liberals are embracing Islam. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
Gotta work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday.
This does not apply to government workers who are sitting on the couches now. Just, let's see now, waking up on the West Coast probably after a lengthy morning breakfast, adding up their 401ks, their pensions, who they can sue next. But the rest of us are working. Actually, the average person is working today. Listen, I'm going to have a good time of today. I don't care about a you. New York City may yank terrorism report to appease mosque spying critics. I'm not making this up. And yet Obama says that it's a religion of peace. Under former police commissioner Ray Kelly, the report served as a blueprint for the NYPD's demographic unit, which sent plainclothes detectives into Muslim cafes, stores, and mosques to detect potential terrorists. Isn't that what you would do if you're looking for a terrorist? Where would you look for them? In a nunnery? You morons, you! Where would you look for a terrorist? In a nunnery? After the initiative was exposed by the vermin in the Associated Press, Muslim radical leaders and groups filed two lawsuits in Brooklyn federal court, claiming they were subjected to unwarranted surveillance. The suits complain the radicalization report puts virtually all Muslims under suspicion. Last April, police commissioner, the shameful Bill Bratton, who's acting like a bratwurst, disbanded the intelligence gathering unit. That's what's going on in America as communism creeps, as the red cloud creeps across America. Oh, there's so much more. Forget about it. I'm going to go backwards a little bit. I already gave you more in the opening than you get in most shows in a week. And I forgot to tell you, this is unprotected talk. Well, you could call it unporktected talk if you wish. And the phone number is 855-407-2282. Unporktected talk, the Savage Nation. I've already explained how we've gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme. I've talked to you about the lawyers and how they're killing us and how the lawyers are going to destroy us and render us unable to defend ourselves against the Muslim terrorists. What else do you want me to do in one day? I can do a lot more, believe me, so I'll give it a little more right now. You ready for this? Let's see where I begin. It was a quiet Sunday morning. No, it was a quiet Saturday morning. And I got into my new Dodge Hellcat with Teddy. It was early, 7 o'clock in the morning. I wanted to drive it. And from the minute I turned the key and the roar, I heard the roar in the garage. I felt a certain vibration coming from the bottom of the car through the seat of the car right up to my brainstem. And I wouldn't say it was the reaction I mentioned before of a certain so-called fake journalist who had another experience of tingling up his leg when Obama spoke. But it gave me the thrill I used to have as a teenager in hot muscle cars. Anyway, long story short, I drove it over to the local mall. Nothing was open. Living in the suburbs most of the time, it's a death zone. Nothing's open ever. And when it is open, you don't want to go there anyway. As Gertrude Stein said, there's no there there, but we keep looking for the there there, and it's never there. It's like ersatz Chinese food, ersatz French food, ersatz American food. Everything is on the fake variety, but we stay here for obvious reasons. It's a moat between us and the teeming masses across the bridge. Of course, I went across the bridge on Sunday. I'll tell you about that in a minute. I go to the mall, and I'm sitting on a chair, and I'm looking at a certain fountain in the mall where there's an elephant, a bronze elephant with water coming out of it, and children generally throw coins in it. Well, what did I see? I see a small Hispanic man and his small wife and his three small children laughing and having a great morning, throwing coins into the fountain, speaking in Spanish, making joy out of a simple thing such as throwing coins in the fountain with their children on a Saturday morning in the sunlight in the suburbs. And I said, there's the hope. There's the future for America, I said to myself as I sat there in the sun.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Do you need work? Says a German journalist who was embedded with the terror group and came back alive. Jürgen Todenhofer told Al Jazeera that he spent 10 days in Mosul with the Islamic State, after he had taken 7 months to set up a meeting with a spokesman for the jihadists. Todenhofer, I don't want to read the whole article. He said he was shocked by the lack of mercy by these fighters in their behavior and how willing to kill they all are, even hoping to commit genocide. He said something that I don't understand at all is the enthusiasm in their plan of religious cleansing, planning to kill the non-believers. They also will kill Muslim Democrats because they believe that non-ISIS Muslims put the laws of human beings above the commandments of Allah. They were talking about killing hundreds of millions. They were enthusiastic about it, and I just cannot understand that. There's almost nothing you could say when you read this other than we have Mr. Hussein Obama in the White House doing virtually nothing to stop them. So they're getting stronger every day, and he said they're getting stronger every day. He said they have a land area larger than the Great Britain. They have conquered an area which is bigger than Great Britain. Every day hundreds of new enthusiastic murderers are arriving. There is an incredible enthusiasm that I've never seen in any other war zones that I've been to. Secondly, the brutality of their intended religious cleansing is on another level. And thirdly, I think the strategy of the Western countries regarding the Muslim world is completely wrong. With our bombardment, we have never been successful. We have not been successful in Afghanistan. We have not been successful in Iraq. The bombardments are a terror breeding program. Well, I would disagree with him. We were very successful with our bombing when we dropped two nuclear weapons on Japan. See, they wanted to fight on. But it was after two nukes, one on Hiroshima, one on Nagasaki, that the Japanese quit, by the way. So the issue is not the bomb. It's the matter of the size of the bomb and who you're dropping it on. So the fact of the matter is, what's going to happen is anyone's guess. We're talking about that. What else did I want to tell you about? Let's see. I told you about the Hispanic guy at the fountain. No, it was very touching. Early morning, sitting around. None of the stores are open. Teddy and I. Sun is just kind of coming over. And here's this family. And they were. I said small for a reason. Because describing a family in size is very critical to the discussion. They were poor, obviously. They weren't wealthy Hispanic people. Whether they were legal or illegal, I would never know, but they were a family on a Saturday morning. There was the father, there was the mother, there were the two or three children, and the kids were laughing, and the father was encouraging the son and daughter to throw the coins. It was so beautiful to watch. I just couldn't stop watching it because it was so beautiful to see this picture. So I did an equation in my head, and here's the quotient. Now, of course, I'll be attacked on by both sides for this, but I'm used to that. The battle lines are so clearly drawn in this country that a man of my breadth of intellect finds it hard to finish a breath before someone attacks what I have to say. I'll try it anyway, since I've been so successful at doing it all these years. I'll do it again. I did an equation. I ran the quotient. I said we have millions of illegal aliens, Hispanic illegal aliens at that, and we're going to have millions of more. And I said, do you think they're going to be easily converted to Islam? Do you think that these Catholics are going to bend over to these Muslim fanatics who are trying to convert people as fast as they can? And I said, no, they're not. I said, they're the future army to fight the Islamic terrorism that's arising in this country. And I don't mean just bombs. I mean the Islamic terrorism of propaganda and conversion. I mean the Islamic propaganda machine that's in place, raging from loudspeakers in everyone's head, coming out of Washington. And I said, the Hispanics are not going to be an easy conversion population for them. Not at all. I can't see it happening. It's that simple. So I said, okay, there's your quotient. There's your quotient. Because at the end of the day, in the worst of times, and we're not in them, I'm very optimistic. I always have an optimistic conclusion to things. You got to understand that. It's how I look at things. So the country's being flooded with illegal aliens, which I can do nothing about because we have a sellout Republican leadership. And the quotient is, well, maybe they'll be the bulwark against the Muslim invasion and the Muslim conversion. That's all. I mean, am I allowed to think that? Of course I am. If you don't like my thinking, that's your problem, not mine. I'm still protected by the First Amendment, despite what the Pope says. That's my thinking. That's all. 855-407-282. They're lined up already. All the stations are full. There are people out there who are alive today and thinking. They're not all having a mimosa breakfast somewhere and are drunk by noon. Not everyone's drunk by afternoon. Unless you work for the U.S. Department of Energy, you're not drunk. Oh, sure, if you work for the EPA, you're probably drunk by now on a junket somewhere in Honolulu or Waikiki, Maui. You're probably on a government trip somewhere with the EPA to study global warming. Here's another news story for you before I take. I'm not ready for calls. Warming up. Professor quits because there are too many conservatives on campus. Comes to us from Khalib Bonham in Campus Reform newspaper. A professor of politics at Brandeis University. Brandeis University. Har, har, hardy, har, har. When you put the words Brandeis and university together, it's a laughing stock. Used to be a great university. It's become nothing but a left-wing cesspool. But this prof is retiring because he can no longer tolerate conservatives on campus. According to the Brandeis newspaper, the Justice Professor Donald Hindley, the newspaper is called the Justice, Professor Donald Hindley will step down from the position he has held for over half a century because, as he said, there are far, far fewer, let me call them activist, liberal-minded people at Brandeis University. Hindley confirmed that Brandeis is not compelling him to step down. Instead, his departure is due to his age and his belief that the politics department had become far more conservative. We can't have that at Brandeis. No, Professor. Professor, 'tis a far, far better place that you go than you have ever gone, and may you never come back from it. And that's all I have to say about Brandeis University. What else is in the news? Oh, here's a little story for those of you in the San Francisco Bay Area. It finally made it to a newspaper, something we in the know have been talking about for years. Senator Dianne Feinstein's husband, who has a name, by the way, which they don't name him, his name is Blum,
is about to make $1 billion off a government real estate deal. New York Post, Richard Johnson. And he wrote this. Didn't make it to the San Francisco newspaper, which is wholly owned by Willie Brown and company. The San Francisco Chronicle newspaper, which was once a good B paper when I got here 30 years ago, whatever, has become not a laughingstock, but a Democrat sheet run by the Willie Brown cartel. Senator Dianne Feinstein's husband is about to make $1 billion off a government real estate deal. He will not make it to the local paper, so the idiots walk around in total lack of knowledge of this couple. And here's what he wrote. Ever wonder how lowly paid lawmakers leave office filthy rich? Senator Dianne Feinstein is showing how it's done. The U.S. Postal Service plans to sell 56 buildings so it can lease space more expensively. And the real estate company of the California senator's husband, Richard Blum, is set to pocket about $1 billion in commissions. Blum's company, CBRE, was selected in March 2011 as the sole real estate agent on sales expected to fetch $19 billion. Most voters didn't notice that Blum is a member of CBRE's board and served as chairman from 01 to 014. There's Senator Dianne Feinstein, the self-righteous fraud who released the so-called torture report before Christmas that crippled our intelligence gathering capacities. My suspicion is this story was finally released by operatives within the intelligence community in order to give her a little payback for destroying them or trying to destroy them. She finally stepped on the wrong hornet's nest. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. And I'm only an outsider looking in. In fact, if I were to do a YouTube, a fantasy YouTube, which I thought about over the weekend with a friend of mine, I said it would be of a man sitting in an apartment somewhere on the second floor, let's say one of the poorer neighborhoods of Manhattan, if there are any left, with the older brownstones that aren't fancy, they're in rent control, like above a Korean delicatessen. And he's sitting up there in an undershirt with his arms on a cushion so he doesn't damage his elbows, which you see in Manhattan on a hot day. They used to see a lot of Italian women and Jewish women. They sit there leaning on the window, so they wouldn't even go downstairs. They'd watch life underneath their window. And in watching life passing underneath their window, they understood life. That was before reality television. That was before sitcoms when everything became fake. The beginning of the end of reality was when reality television appeared. And you had ersatz women pretending to be real women. But nevertheless, my fantasy is a YouTube of an older man, sitting in a window with his arms on a cushion, looking down at the street and talking about world events, world politics. And he does it in a mock voice that no one has anymore. He does it in a mock New York Yiddish voice from 50 years ago. And he says, "You want to ask me about Iran? I'll tell you about Iran. Here's Iran. I'll tell you the whole story about Iran. Don't ask any questions. I'll tell you the story anyway. Why does Obama want Iran to have the atomic bomb? Why is he pushing for no sanctions? Oh, don't ask. I have the answer. What, you want to know? You really want to know what I think? I'll tell you what I think. Here's why. The reason that they want them to have the bomb is to blackmail Israel. So Israel gives up the West Bank, and boom, another Nobel Prize for that. Mom's a fraud." That's what the old man would say. Not my opinion, of course. That's just a character in the YouTube, imaginary YouTube, that I came up with for my fantasy life. So here I sit. The world goes around and around and around. Hitler is back, only he's not speaking German, and he is not marching to the Horst Wessel song. No, Hitler is back, and he is speaking Arabic, and he has a headdress. And he's marching to the beat of another book, not Mein Kampf this time. And they'd like to wipe out hundreds of millions of people who did not comply with their view of the 7th century Allah. Meanwhile, we have cowards and grifters and thieves running the West from the top to the bottom, stooges who do nothing to protect us. Now, I don't know whether that's the man in the window or it's me. I can't tell right now. I could have done it in the mock voice and not taken credit for it. Then I would have been safer, but I just did it in my voice because I think that's the truth. Here's some good news. 6 Iranians killed in Israeli airstrike in Syria, including Revolutionary Guards General. Oh, the Jews can still do it. How did they do that? The airstrike attributed in foreign media reports to Israel which killed six Hezbollah agents in Syria on Sunday, also killed six Iranian soldiers, including commanders. They were all in a convoy of three cars. An Iranian semi-official news site reported that an Iranian Revolutionary Guards general was among those killed in the strike. Well, let's hand it. I didn't know they could still do it. I thought they were all bailing and moving to New York to open a Macy's charge account as fast as they could. That opens us up to some calls. We're sold out already on the calls. Let's begin on line number three. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
John, 103.7 KCMO, Kansas City. Top,
yes, sir.
Is artistic inspiration, Dr. Savage.
Oh, wait, artistic inspiration?
Yes, sir.
Okay, is it a question or a statement?
It's a statement about you and how inspiring you are. I listen to you every day in my studio, and your words of truth and reason and creativity have helped guide me through the muck of life, like you said the other day, to find lotuses. And
yeah, that's a great Buddhist statement. Out of the muck, the lotus grows.
Yes, and listening to you has helped me find lotuses. And as a token of my appreciation, I'd like to offer you a painting, as you've guided me through this.
I would love to accept it, but we have certain rules in talk radio. One, we don't accept listener food. Dear Mike, Johnny and I love you. We've created this cake just for you. Please enjoy it. We don't accept cakes because they could be poisonous. Dear Mike, Billy and I live in Napa Valley. We've created this wine just for you. Please enjoy it. We don't accept wine. Now, is it an explosive painting? Is there any way for me to make sure it doesn't blow up? I'm joking. Yeah. Do you paint stuff or what? Do you sculpt?
I'm a painter. I don't know.
Okay, so let's talk about creativity for a few minutes, and I'm going to come back and get into this whole issue of where does creativity come from? Because nobody can believe I do a daily show. I have a novel coming out in the spring entitled Countdown to Mecca. I'm working on my next nonfiction book for next autumn already, after the other one. And in the middle of it all, I came up with a new character, a transsexual detective, did you hear that one the other day? No, he's gone already? We lost him? Oh, he's on hold. Well, don't let him get old. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Hi, Michael. It is the Savage Nation, so, you know, you can call the show. I don't know if you can get on. It's unprotected talk, and everybody, you know, feels liberated. They want to get on the show and talk. I think we had a caller. We were talking about creativity. You know, he's still with us and where it comes from. Well, I'll go back to him in a minute. I don't have the time right now. I find it comes primarily from the subconscious. Now, what feeds the subconscious is the real issue. Meaning, you know, what are you exposed to in your daily life that feeds your subconscious, which pushes the volcanic eruption? What is it? You know? Like, I could wake up as down as ever, whatever. Some days I'm down, and I have to get myself up for the show. Now, some days I've been down so long it's starting to look like up to me, to paraphrase a very famous unknown artist. The minute I open the curtains and look at the bay, and I watch a pelican dive and drop like a rock to grab a fish, my heart sings. That's all I can tell you. Nature is eternally reassuring for me. Man, I could do without.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This came out on Fox News. Not so full disclosure. Fracking foes behind study that fueled Cuomo ban. A controversial new fracking ban in New York State was bolstered in part by research written and peer-reviewed by scientists, quote-unquote, with ties to the anti-fracking movement, drawing criticism that their views were not disclosed when the ban was announced. I've told you before, as a real PhD scientist, there is very little real science left in America today. It is all political. There are billions of dollars going to the frauds to put forward whatever position the politicians want put forward, whether it be take the flu shot, even though it's 26% effective, number one. There's no Ebola anymore, even though the cases continue to rise. Shall I go down the list? Many, many things, including the fracking now. Look at the lunatics in the street celebrating. There's the bearded one with the eyeglasses and the curly hair holding up a sign. Thank you, Governor Cuomo. New York draws the line, a lunatic. He had a few days off from NYU from pot studies. Anyway, in the first hour I covered I Have a Dream to I Have a Scheme. That's all. If you missed it, you missed it. It's too bad. Maybe we'll put it up later as a YouTube. I don't know. Where I say today's black leadership is only interested in the color of one's skin, not in the character that King spoke of. You understand the difference? It's a very important differential that's lost on this crew here. UFO files released. Oh, God, not again. I don't know about you, but I am so not interested in UFOs. I have enough to deal with here with Obama. Robert, do you lay awake at night fearing UFOs are going to come and take you away? No, I don't think so. I don't think that there'd be good Italian food in another galaxy, frankly. I, for one, to be honest with you, I've given up on, I can't eat Asian food anymore. As much as I've talked about it, and I'm shifting, I know that. Because it all comes down to food. It's been said, you know, living well is the best revenge. I gave up last night. I went into the city. I was bored out here in the area where you look at garage doors. The only architecture in the suburbs is the neighbor's garage door. And after a while, you know, you can go insane. Man, it was so foggy out where I live. I couldn't believe it. I called a friend in the city. He said, no, it's sunny. I said, what? That's a reversal. Jumped in a car, fired over the bridge. And it was beautiful. I mean, San Francisco is such a beautiful city, but garbage everywhere, filth. You know, I think that I'm going to get even by doing a YouTube on the filth in the streets of San Francisco. How do they let this happen? I don't mean just the bums, which are bad enough. No, they are bad enough with their killer dogs and the chains down around the ferry terminal. I'm talking about actual filth and garbage in the streets of downtown San Francisco in the financial district yesterday. Filth, garbage. You know, Paris isn't this dirty. There's not a European city that's as dirty as San Francisco. It reminds me of what a gay realtor said to me when I first moved here in 1974, and I was looking at houses in San Francisco. He was a funny guy. He said, well, that's what we call a Queen Anne front. And he said, but we know it as a Queen Anne front and a Mary Anne behind. I never forgot that line, which is hilariously funny, isn't it? Robert, does that still play as funny? Well, you don't understand it. He's too young. No, in other words, in San Francisco, we have architecture. Some of it has a Queen Anne front, a facade. But behind it is a Mary Anne, like an Irish cottage, in other words. But the facade, it looks like a Queen Anne front. But if you look behind the facade, it's just a little bungalow in the back. That's known as a Queen Anne front and a Mary Anne behind. He was a great guy. I don't know what happened to him, you know. Funny, what a sense of humor. I was looking at places in the city yesterday to move again. I'm always looking to move. So how shall I tell this story without insulting too many people? I didn't say no people. In one of the apartments I looked at, there was a guy sitting on the couch who wasn't really the realtor, but he was with the realtor. And he turned out to be someone, I didn't know him, but we were talking, and one word led to the other. The guy's sitting there, you got to talk to him. Like a stiff on the couch, flipping magazines. It turns out he's a friend, I don't know who. So turns out he went to the funeral of my friend Lorenzo Petroni, who died. He knew him very well in the North Beach restaurant, you know, so there was a little connection there, and the food, and this, and the children, and this, and that. So one word led to the other. Guy happens to be gay. Not a big deal to me. Never was. Never will be. And he says, you know, he said, one thing someone said about Lorenzo, may God rest his soul. He said that Mitt Romney is not conservative enough. He said, can you believe that? I said, well, yeah, he's right. And the guy didn't even understand what I was saying. So I realized in that moment that the dividing line is so great in this country, the chasm between those of us who are real and know what's going on, know the danger we're facing in this country every day, both from enemies domestic and enemies foreign. It's a chasm that can never be crossed. And the reason is, it's a reason. The reason is the newspapers are dead. If we still had a vigorous newspaper in San Francisco, the gays would recognize the danger they're in from the Islamists pouring into this country, is what I say. I found an article last week with horrible pictures of murderers in Mosul, Muslim murderers throwing gays off a roof. I didn't make up the pictures. I linked to them on michaelsavage.com. Do you think that the psycho newspaper in New York, San Francisco, Chicago, you name your city, will they show those pictures of what the Muslims are doing to gays in Mosul, a city they've conquered, ISIS? No, so the gay community doesn't even know the danger they're in. Instead, they attack Romney like he's the danger. Well, worse, me, Michael Savage, I'm suddenly their enemy. Not those who would throw them off the roof, but me. Why? The newspapers won't show them the truth. And the newspapers, unfortunately, are about the only source of reality for too many people in this country. They don't even watch the news. They see a newspaper laying on a table, they'll glance at a headline. They'll see a newspaper in a rack, they may give it a peek. So if you put a picture of the Islamists throwing gays off a roof in Mosul on the front page 5 days in a row, maybe the gay movement would wake up. But they won't. Instead, they target Romney. They target Republicans. They target talk radio. They target the Tea Party over and over and over again. And you wonder why the country has no hope. At least that's one man's opinion. That opens up no lines at 855-400-7282. There are many other stories. Let's see the weekend headlines. These are the ones I pulled that I thought I was going to get to, but I didn't. Here. Michael Savage Nation weekend headlines pulled by... I keep sending them to staff over the weekend. I get them on Monday morning. New York City may yank terrorism report to appease Musk's spying critics. I told you about it already. Obama to seek billions in new taxes on investments and inheritance. NATO expansion into Ukraine could ignite nuclear war, Gorbachev says. World will not survive the next few years. Now, what's intriguing about the Gorbachev piece is that Gorbachev was once a darling of the left. Now here's Gorbachev arguing that Obama's insanity is liable to trigger a nuclear war by provoking Russia over Ukraine. Former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, without necessarily taking sides with Russian President Putin, told a German news magazine that NATO instigated the current Ukraine crisis because it had chosen to not adhere to the provisions of the Paris Charter of 1990, thus saying the dangling nuclear between the bloc is Russia is just a matter of time, with both sides flaunting their respect, blah, blah, blah. So in other words, NATO caused this crisis. That's, now who's NATO? NATO is the new European Union combined with Obama's sorority girls. The sorority girls who've never fired a slingshot are trying to take down Putin because they've been told to do so by their maniac boss. Or is it the sorority girls who told the maniac what to do? They don't understand if the Russians have to delete wood rather than give up to these sorority girls. If the Russians, through the embargoes, have to eat wood, they'd rather eat wood than give in to this group of psychotic leftist sorority girls ruining America and the world. They know nothing about history. So they're forcing Russia into a corner over nothing, a non-issue. They're the ones who provoke Russia by moving NATO into Ukraine. He's saying what I've been saying to you for about a year now. But because Gorbachev said it, didn't make it to the local paper. That was a big story. But I went over your head. I get it. It's too much. I'm sitting in the mall the other day with the dog. Guy comes up to me, older guy, I don't know, white-haired guy, nice guy. And he says to me, oh, Mike, I just want to shake your hand for what you do. I said, all right, thank you. He says, how do you do it every day? He says, how do you do it every day? He said, I've given up. He said, my wife won't even talk to me. She said, I can't listen to it anymore. He's right. You're right. But I can't take it anymore. It's too painful. I said, all right, well, that's what they want to do. That's how the communists win. They overwhelm you. This is what Alinsky's method is. This is what Obama's doing along with Axel Grease, his advisor. Axel Grease is Obama's brain on steroids. And Axel Grease out of Chicago greases the wheels of the Obama sorority and tells him, keep overwhelming the American people with one crisis and one scandal after another till eventually they give up. And we don't fight back. Instead, we have, I'll try to use a polite family word for a guy like Romney or Jeb Bush, which we always have to say, but they're nice guys. That just about says it all. But they're nice guys. Let's put it to you that way. You don't use nice guys in a knife fight. You don't send nice guys into a ring with UFO fighters who are out to skin you alive. We don't need nice guys. We need a vicious oratorical genius like Obama on the right. We need a malicious oratorical leader like Obama on the right. The only thing that can save America is reality. Realism can save this country. It's the only thing. And we're not getting it. Not with nice guys like Mitt Romney. I am not looking forward to this campaign coming up next year. Now, it's true my contract was renewed through 2016 at my request. I mean, I was scheduled to not go on because I did all I wanted to do, but I said, no, I got to stay through the election of 2016. I mean it. I told you that Stop the Coming Civil War would be my last nonfiction book, other than maybe a book on Teddy or something like that. Then I would devote myself to something else, or whatever. But then I decided, oh, are you kidding? You're going to leave the radio just before the election? So I'm going to be here, God willing, through 2016. And the thing is, I'm not looking forward to it. I cannot stand the thought of Mr. Peepers, Romney, trying to argue with Hillary Clinton. She's malicious. She's vicious. She'll tear him to ribbons. We need someone who can stand up to that harridan and put her in her place, reminding us of all of the misdemeanors this woman has been surrounded by. Her failures as a Secretary of State would have disqualified her in any other time in American history. Her massive, forget Benghazi, that directly is tied to her as Secretary of State. But think of the other tragic failures she has committed. She reignited a Cold War with Russia. We were on good terms with Russia. I grew up in the Cold War. I grew up jumping under desks in grade school of, I forget what it was called. We used to have to train for a nuclear war. Did you know that? You kids don't even know that. Somehow we didn't need to go to counseling for it. We turned it into a game. They didn't send us to a therapist when they said, all right, duck and cover. We had to go under the desks. The teacher would say something. We'd jump under the desks and prepare for a nuclear attack on New York City. Today, oh, don't do that. Don't do that because the kids are liable to have a nervous breakdown. You'll have to have balloons and candy for them afterwards and therapy sessions. We lived in reality. Not the reality the Russians lived in when the Nazis invaded Russia. Remember, there's an entire generation of Russians still living who remember the German devastation of Russia. They still remember it cost them 4 million men to take Berlin. And they're still running Russia. And they're not giving in to the sorority girls from Brandeis who are advising Obama. How are we going to straighten this world out if we have such idiots running this country? So I grew up jumping under desks, duck and cover. It was fun. You got a chance to play around with the other kids. Let's leave it at that. We did. I mean, think about it. You jump under a desk in grade school. What do you think kids are going to do? You're going to have a game, make a game out of it. You're going to tickle each other. You're going to pull someone's hair, whatever. Or if there wasn't enough room under the desks, some of us had to run into the coat closets. I swear to God, with the hooks, you had to be careful you didn't poke your eye out with one of the coat hooks. And you like pushed around inside the clothes. You pushed the smaller kids around into the clothes. and so you made a game out of it. Not today. No duck and cover today. I can change the title if you'd like, but it's a family show. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Blue Monday, how I eat Blue Monday.
The reason I'm playing it is because today is known as Blue Monday, believe it or not. It says today, January 19th, is the saddest day of the year, and there's a Blue Monday equation that explains why, Fox News. Wintry weather, post-holiday debt, failed New Year's resolutions, and everyone is back in the office after taking time off. Those things added together amount to what is believed to be the most depressing day of the year for many. Today, January 19th, dubbed Blue Monday. So they use an equation, and it uses six factors: weather, debt, time since Christmas, time since failing our New Year's resolutions, and low motivational levels. So it's Blue Monday. So what's the conclusion? What are you supposed to do to fight the blues? Well, the libs would say drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Works for them. They're running the world. No, think about that. I mean, the liberals who are running the world, they run Hollywood, they run the universities, they run America, they run the entire world. They're running on drugs, sex, and rock and roll, so maybe they're right. It sure may beat sobriety, abstinence, and Vivaldi. I just made it up for you. No, the opposite of drugs, sex, and rock and roll would be sobriety, abstinence, and Vivaldi. I once almost did myself in listening to Vivaldi. Man, he can do you so over the edge. I was on an island in the South Pacific for too long on a plant collecting expedition. And you talk about alien. Did you ever get an alienation attack known as the blues or homesickness? Yeah, well, try it when no one speaks your language. You're the only race amongst another race, as nice as they are to you. And nothing is familiar. And it goes on and on. There's no telephone. There's no electricity. There's no running water. You know, you're doing the native experience for the reasons that I won't go into when I was collecting plants. I had so all I had with me was a little cassette recorder and Vivaldi. To this day, I will not play the Quattro Stagioni. I will not play the Four Seasons. I get so despondent. It's why I play the music I play today on the Savage Nation. When I come back, more of the breaking news, views, and reviews, and your calls, of course, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
No, they don't want to do the tarantella, they want to do the mambo, right? You want to eat an enchilada with a fish bacala, he was saying. It's like the past and the present. I know how you dance this, but you should dance that. If you're going to be a square, you ain't going to get nowhere. Hey, mambo italiano, hey, mambo, mambo italiano, go shake. It's a funny song. Doesn't mean anything anymore. But he calls the people who don't know anything a shadrul. A shadrul would be someone like Howard Dean. He says, hey, shadrul, you don't have to go to school just to make it big with a big bambino. Just make it with a big bambino. It's like vino. Hey, shadrul. Shadrul means someone with the intellect of a squash. It'd be like Howard Dean or Joe Biden. Joe Biden would be Obama's shadrul, right? I mean, that was sort of like that. Yeah, something like that. And like, who would be the Sancho Panza of Quixote would be a shadrul, if you want to put it in a literary term. That's right. So in other words, who would they pick for a vice president? Could you imagine, let's do a comparison. If every president needs a shadrul as a vice presidential candidate to not compete with them, who would Romney, who's already a shadrul of a kind, who would his vice president, how much more moderate squishy could he go? Who would he pick? Who? No, McCain's crazy. He couldn't pick him. He'd be a wrecking ball. He'd have to pick someone sort of weaker and mushier than him to be a vice president. No, it would have to be someone weaker and it doesn't make sense. Whatever. I'm getting a migraine already from this. No, maybe drugs, sex, and rock and roll is the only answer when you think about it. It works for the liberals. They're running everything, as I say. Their presidency, they got the Congress. Well, sort of. They own the media for sure. It runs on drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Hollywood, that's a no-brainer. EU, no-brainer. I'm starting to think of the Vatican's running on the same fuel. It's the same language, isn't it? The same message. The message, you know, if the church no longer stands for morality, tell me what it stands for. Let's make it very simple. If the church is suddenly saying everything is fine, dogs go to heaven, gay marriage is fine, capitalism no good, so no wonder he's the darling of the left. So what, therefore, is the church good for? Tell me what it's useful for. If there's no moral compass, tell me what the good of a religion is altogether. Tell me what's the point of a religion if there's no morality in it. And I'm not preaching morality. I'm not a moralist. Not at all. But I'm saying, what's the point of a religion? That job is to make us feel bad. The job of a religion is to make you feel bad, to keep you in line a little bit. When you're about to do bad, to feel bad about it. So you know you're doing wrong. At least you know what's right, okay? But otherwise, what's the point of a religion? I don't understand it. What, for the ritual? You see what I'm getting at? In other words, if the church is no longer a moral force, it's become irrelevant. I can show you other religions that have become irrelevant because of their liberalism. Need I spell it out for you? You go into a Reformed Jewish temple for the last post-World War years. I said Reformed Jewish temple. It's like a church without a cross. Nothing wrong with that, but it's about like a liberal church without a cross. You could do a rotating symbol on the ark, for all they know. They don't know what the Bible is. They could care less. So it's a social club? Primarily, yes, to sit and put down the other people. Say they're not us. We're not part of them. That's why I don't go to any house of worship, by the way. I don't need anyone telling me what to do. No, it's a funny thing that I'm saying to you, but the truth is some people do need it. I don't. I'm a good person. I don't need moralizing. I know what's right and wrong, and I often do wrong. I can't help it. I'm only human. I try to do right. I try my best to do right, but believe me, I don't succeed. By and large, I'm good. I never pulled the wings off flies, by the way. For example, I let flies out of the house. I let like an insect fly. I don't step on ants. I knew kids that were so mean. They killed everything around them. They stepped on little animal on insects. They crushed them, and they'd like to hear like a bug pop. Or, yeah, I knew bad kids, really bad kids. There was a redheaded kid in the Bronx. I think his name was Richard. And because he was redheaded, I swear to God, they picked on him. Freckles and redheaded. They picked on him mercilessly. Vicious, vicious SOBs. And one day they tied him to a tree and set his feet on fire. I swear to God. You think I'm making it up? I didn't know. I was a little kid. I was 5. I used to run around with everybody in the neighborhood. I didn't know what to say. They start with the paper. They take like newspaper, twigs in the blank lot across the street. And the SOBs are lighting a fire. The kid's screaming on his feet. And they're laughing hysterical. Now, the kids who did it was so bad. One of them wound up in the electric chair. He became a motorcycle gangster type. He wound up in the electric chair. His brother was also electrocuted. What a family that was. Oh, my God. But they tried to set him on fire. He was screaming. Finally, the adults came racing across the street and put the fire out with a seltzer bottle. I don't know what they had spraying the fire. No, but kids are vicious, you know. Some of them are. Most of the ones who I know are vicious became tort lawyers. No, it's true. There's certain professions that attract a certain type of personality. People who like to hurt either become surgeons or lawyers. Not all lawyers are tort lawyers, don't get me wrong, and not all doctors are surgeons, but you ask anyone about the psychology of surgeons, and they'll all tell you they have a vicious streak that they've channeled into cutting. In other words, if they were primitives and not smart, they would just cut people. This is they cut, and they do it perfectly, and they make a living at it. You go down the whole scale of cutting, you know, like cutting corned beef and cats or something like that, but just mumbling now. I don't know what I want to do with this show now. I'm so tired of the news. It's so horrible. Every day I hear from former CIA directors telling us a matter of time before we get hit. For example, here's Leon Panetta. This guy was a former Defense Department, former CIA. Now listen to what he has to say in clip 4.
Happened in Paris, what happened in Ottawa, what has happened in Belgium is something that we need to understand, these terrorists are now engaged in a much more aggressive effort based on their recruiting, based on what's happening in Syria and Iraq and Yemen. They are engaged in a much more aggressive effort to conduct violence, not only in Europe, but I think it's a matter of time before they direct it at the United States as well.
All right, so Panetta tells us that, Feinstein tells us that, this one tells us that one tells us that, right? And they do nothing about it. I mean, what the hell are they telling us about it for? Go break up the Muslim training camps in America instead of giving me this crap about they're here about to hurt us. I'm sick of this. A journalist embedded with ISIS says they want to kill hundreds of millions. So now Panetta comes off his farm there in Monterey, tells us they're about to strike. And then Feinstein stops with the business deals for 5 seconds and puts on the hat of the intelligence agency. So, it's unlikely to hear and liable to do it any day now, liable to attack any day. And the next day she attacks the CIA out of the other side of her mouth. If the liberals are all telling us we're about to get hit, why don't they just stop it before it happens? Why? They're enabling them. They're enabling them. They know where they are. They know where the training cells are. The NYPD used to have a division that monitored cafes and mosques where Muslims hung out. And they pretty much stopped every terrorist attack before it occurred. No, not the minute DiBlodio became mayor. No, sorry, Bob. And Bill Bratwurst became the police commissioner, the great police commissioner. He immediately disbanded that unit because it was racist, because it was doing its job a little too well. Let me ask you something. During the years that the FBI was monitoring the mafia, did they monitor Italian social clubs or did they monitor, let's say, Jewish delis? Let me go backwards in time. How come no one said it was racist to monitor the club where Gotti hung around in? Where would the FBI monitor if they're looking for guys in the mob at that time? Would they monitor Italian social clubs? Or would they? What would they do? Oh, no, we don't monitor Italian social clubs. That would be racist. But they did monitor them because they were trying to get to the guys that they wanted to get to. The same way the NYPD had the common sense to monitor Muslims in cafes and mosques. Because that's where you would hide if you came from a country and you wanted to do us harm. Or you were born here and you were a rotten piece of garbage and wanted to blow the country up that has been so good to you. Better than the hellhole garbage that your ancestors live in. But that's not good enough. You want to blow it up, right? Because you're jealous of it. The only reason these bums want to blow us up is because they're jealous of us. 1,000 years they haven't produced zilch since they gave us the zero. Nothing. Zero. Every day after listening to propaganda, but Muslims did this, Muslims created that. Show me what they built. Show me what they built. 1,000 years of hatred. That's all I see. 1,000 years of hatred. When are you going to wake up to what this is? Read it. Read it yourself. Read it yourself. Right here is the article. It didn't make it to your local paper. The propaganda sheets that thinks Romney is too conservative. Journalist embedded with ISIS says they want to kill hundreds of millions. They're on a genocidal warpath. They want to kill, he said, they're stronger than we think. They have conquered an area which is bigger than Great Britain. Incredible enthusiasm. Brutality I've never seen. And he said in their behavior, they're genocidal. They told him that they will kill Muslim Democrats because they believe that non-ISIS Muslims put the laws of human beings above the commandments of God. In other words, they're a holy book. Then in the same breath, I read that New York City may yank terrorism report to appease mosque spying critics. And then Panetta gives me a speech about a matter of time before the terrorists direct violence in the USA. Then we hear a former CIA director in clip 5. Listen to this garbage now. Listen.
We've had this problem for a long time, just to reiterate something that Prime Minister Cameron said. You know, we had the Fort Hood shootings. We had the Boston bombing, so we've had radicalized Americans conduct these attacks. I expect more. I think we're going to see a Paris-style attack here. We need to be prepared for that. It's very difficult to deal with, right? We usually catch terrorists because they're communicating with each other. And when you're self-radicalized, right, particularly a lone individual, you're probably not communicating with somebody. Very difficult to find you.
Complete lie. He didn't say Islam or Muslim once, number one. He's a complete sellout piece of baloney, number two. And number three, they could catch them tomorrow. They could have catched them yesterday. What do you mean, wait for it to happen? What, are you crazy? Yeah, that's what they're saying. Again, they're putting out the big lie, lone wolf. Lone wolf, lone wolf. Yeah, not Islamic, not Muslim, lone wolf, lone wolf, lone wolf. Hijack the great religion, lone wolf. Lone wolf, hijacked, hijacked, right, right, right. Well, what is it going to take? Some tell me that it's going to take another 9/11, but on steroids, for the average drug, sex, and rock and roll liberal to wake up to the threat that they are facing in the world. I said, you're kidding me. That's quite sobering. They said a 9/11 on steroids would not 3,000, but maybe 30,000 die from a dirty bomb before the American people wake up to what this government under Hussein, King Hussein, has done to this country. What King Hussein has done to nullify our common sense is incomprehensible. How King Hussein focuses his entire vitriol against the Tea Party and Republicans as opposed to radical Muslims amongst us and in other parts of the world is just astonishing. That's quite a sentence. I managed to spit it all out in one sentence. And I haven't taken any calls yet. I realize it's supposed to be an easy day. It's a manic Monday. No one's really listening. Everyone's on vacation. What are they doing today? What are they doing their day off? Day off. Day off. Where do they go on a day off? What are they doing on a day off? Oh, I got Monday off. Great. I could sleep in and what? Have a mimosa at 11 o'clock at a restaurant and be a drunk by noon? That's what you're living for? So you retire at 55 and play golf with a pair of shorts on? That's what God puts you on the earth to walk around with your knock knees? I don't understand people. I don't even know what they're living for. That's why the enemy is going to win. Because we are the straw men compared to them. As hateful as they are, let me say this before you misinterpret what I'm saying. As hateful and as genocidal and as sick as they are, they believe in something. They believe in hate and they believe in murder. You know what you believe in? Nothing. The average white male in America believes in nothing. He has no belief system. His religion was stolen from him. His birthright was denigrated by the educational establishment and by the media. The white male has no faith in himself. He has no faith in the country. He has no faith in his own future. He may be a strong man individually. He may be a very heroic man individually. He may be a fine man individually, but he's a hollow man. He is a straw man. And as a result, we are in very deep danger, because there's one adage that I will never forget, which is that nature abhors a vacuum. And into that vacuum, often the worst fills. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Countdown to the end of hour number two of the Savage Nation. Another big hour to go across America. Unfortunately, not in your market. If you leave me, I can't help it. We now turn to the verminous left. Michael Moore is calling snipers cowards. While audiences across America gave their thumbs up to American Sniper, the biggest ever opening weekend for a movie in January, the Clint Eastwood film has liberal psychos putting out words that should destroy their careers. You see, Michael Moore said that only cowards are snipers. We were taught snipers are cowards. That's him. There's your fatso, your hero of the left. Try to walk it back, but forget about it. Now, Michael Moore wasn't the only Hollywood vermin who seemed to snub the film American Sniper. The loudmouth, phony Seething Rogen, took to Twitter to criticize Sniper for what he said characterizes as a pro-war stance. He compared the Bradley Cooper starring movie to a scene in Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds, where a German sniper heroically killed more than 200 Allied soldiers. That's Seth Rogen. He's finished. Never go to one of his movies, ever. Jane Fonda tweeted her support for the movie. Gee, I wonder why Jane Fonda tweeted her. I wonder if Hillary Clinton will now come out and face. She put her finger up. She knows which way the wind blows. Oh, yeah, we love it. Jane Seymour Fonda just saw American Sniper, she said. Powerful movie. A powerful movie. Sure, Jane. We'll never forget Jane Fonda's sitting on that anti-aircraft gun. Never. Anyway, it's a big movie, big hit, $100 million weekend. And the American haters on the left, like Michael Moore. I wish this was not a family show. I tell you what I really think should be done. But, okay. He did it to himself. Double-talking fraud, lives in four houses and talks about global warming. If you look at his face, you can see he's a deviant. That's all.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you?
Anything I'm saying yet, or is everything so serious? Some people find my humor fun. Others don't even understand it. They've got me stereotyped and blocked out with an X through my name. But I'm Michael Savage. I'm here. I'm near. I'm everywhere. I'm here. I'm near. I'm everywhere. When you think about it, I'm everywhere. 20 years and they couldn't keep me down. No, they tried from day one. They still try, but to no avail, because they can't touch truth. You know what they say in a trial, truth is the best defense. It often is true that truth is the best defense. So today, when I said to you that the schemers who have taken over Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy have turned his I Have a Dream into I Have a Scheme, how can you fight that when you know it's true? You know that Holder and Obama and Sharpton are con men. You think Reverend King would have had anything to do with a guy like Al Sharpton? A street rat like that? You think Reverend King would have had anything to do with a fake reverend like Al Sharpton? Reverend King had a divinity degree. That one invented it out of a Cracker Jack box. So far as I can tell. Would he have something to do with Obama, who uses race to hustle his way on the top of every discussion? It's got to be race with him, not character. Martin Luther King Jr. said he wants to know about the character of a man's soul, not the color of his skin. I agree with him. Well, by that judgment, I don't think we have very good black leadership in America today, from my point of view. And that's one of the topics. There are many others, and I've touched on many of them, and it opens it up to calls. I've only taken one or two the whole 2 hours now. But I got time right now for some calls. 805-05-400-728-2 to the Savage Nation. I get more playful now in the third hour because I feel it's like a coasting job. You know, I lose some stations and I gain a summer station, but I'm in a relaxer more. In a third hour, I relax more. I don't know why, like a different thing. I've already conquered the mountain. Now it's going to be calls. And little musings and rasmusings without musings, musings without Rasmussen. So let me see. I told you about the Hispanic family at the fountain and how it encouraged me to believe that all is not lost. Remember that in the last hour? That was very good. Didn't get credit for that one. I told you a lot of things. I don't remember. There's too many things. Let me review the weekend a little bit. So when the mall finally opened, after I saw the Hispanic family playing with the kids throwing coins in the fountain, I said, that gives me hope. Father, mother, 2-3 children. I didn't see any white families there. Usually you see white mothers there at the fountain, but no white fathers. That's all you see. You see white mothers with the babies, but no father. There's no father around. Either he's working or they're single mothers. And this is family. Father, mother, 2 children, 3 children. And laughing, throwing pennies into the fountain. I loved it. So then I went over to the bookstore. I dread going into bookstores, even though I've had a bestseller 6 weeks on the list, Stop the Coming Civil War, I dread going in, because you can only stay on the list so long, right? So I like avert the bestseller rack. I go and I put like a blinder over my right eye. I try to walk past the rack. I go to the magazine rack. You want to get it like a geography of Michael Savage's mind? Look at the magazines I bought. Now, this goes back to when I was a youngster, and I'd be getting ready for a vacation. I bought magazines. Magazines were for vacation. Because, like, during the week, you have to do homework and read, you know, arithmetic and history. Magazines were, like, for fun. So what magazines did I buy for fun? Car magazine. I bought Hemmings Motor News, always. I'm still a car nut. Can't deny, even during my real, like, you know, and whatever phase, like many years ago, like, I still love cars secretly. In the days I tried not to love cars, I thought that they were like too American. I don't mean American cars, but like, it was like really out of it. Like, cars, man, don't even talk with me about that. That is so not cool. What is a car, man? It's just transportation, you know, right? Meanwhile, I was driving a busted Volvo, a 4-cylinder with 4 on the floor, couldn't get out of its own way. And one day, the traffic light, I'll never forget it as long as I live. I came off the highway frustrated, angry, full of rage from struggling. Children, mortgage. I didn't know how I'd get through the next day, let alone the next year. Because I was a white male, they wouldn't hire me as a teacher. So I was frustrated. I was angry. I'll be honest with you. And I tried to drag race some guy in a fast and newer car on Sir Francis Drake Boulevard. Well, he beat me there, down on it. And we get to the next light, and he looks over, rolls his window down, zzzz. And just before the light turns green, he says, if you want to get into this game, buddy, get a faster, newer car. I got so mad as he shot away. Well, that motivated me to work harder and get a faster, newer car. See, I didn't go out with an axe or blow someone up. I didn't lay 1,000 years to kill the infidel. I tried to make enough money to buy a faster, newer car. So now, I mean, I got the Dodge Hellcat now. You know what I like about the Dodge Hellcat the most, in addition to the sound and the power? It actually handles beautifully. Amazing. If you roll all the windows up, you don't even hear any road noise. You just feel the roar coming up through the seats. It's better than like in the Mercedes has a seat vibrator. This, the engine is the seat vibrator. No, not like that. No, not in that. No, in a positive manner, like a back vibrator, whatever. But people don't know what the Dodge, they don't know what it is. They see, oh, guy in a Dodge, it's not a foreign car. I love it. It's like everyone here is like, oh, yeah, it's not even one of my Mercedes. It's like an E103, you know. E250, E950. Everyone looks at the E, the S, the L, the C. That's like the whole thing. In my day, there's like the Buick LeSabre, the Buick Roadmaster. Then if you're really like Donald Trump, you had like a Cadillac. Cadillac DeVille. And all the way, oh, he has a Coupe DeVille. Ooh, he must know the mayor, you know. But now it's like, you look at the Mercedes C-Class, C-Class, S-Class, D-Class. Like, they look at the letter now to know how, what you're... So they look at the Dodge, they don't know it's the hardest car to get in America. They have like 15,000 orders, they only made 1,500 of them, something like that. They cannot keep up with it. You have to wait a year to get this car. But they don't know it's like more desirable than the most expensive Mercedes on the road. I'm telling you, I like my Mercedes, don't get me wrong. And by the way, it's the first new car I've had in 5 years. I don't buy new cars every year, even though I can. I have a Mercedes I bought new in 08. I will not sell it. I love the car. This S600, I won't go into why. I just love it. I don't want to get rid of it. I don't give it to a dealer. It's like, how can a car worth so much be worth so little so fast? I don't understand that. The value is still there for me. It's like a bullet on the road. Handles, this, that. But now that I have a new car, I have all the neuroses of a new car. It's like, I want to keep the new car smell in it. I don't know how. It's like, if I roll a window down, am I letting the new car smell go out faster? I park in a parking lot all the way over, like on a Sunday morning. Nobody is in this parking lot. It's like an empty ball field. And I put it in the last spot all the way in the end. I say, wait a minute, it's liable to get carjacked while I'm not where. It's like near the bushes, right? So you have to like do that that calculation. If I put it too far there, then no one could see it. They can jack it, throw it in a truck. But that's only, they don't know what it is, so they won't jack it. And then my luck, the whole time that I'm walking away from the car into the mall and no one's open, I'm walking waiting for some idiot to open so I can get a taco, nothing. I mean, the suburbs are so horrible. Nothing was open. So it's like nothing open there. The only thing running, Starbucks is open. I don't eat in Starbucks. See all the kids jacked up on sugar and caffeine. The mothers don't even know what they're doing to them. Giving a child like a cookie and a caffeinated beverage. They don't know why the child's hyperactive. Nor do they care. They put them on drugs. I walk around, always observing. See this family with the coins in the fountain, waiting for the fish taco joint to open. It's actually the best junk food around, I found. There's those three fish tacos for like $10.29. It's got the best food value. You know, Ono, like tuna fish, grilled tuna fish with beans and rice. Get the pinto beans. I like to talk to the Spanish-speaking people. I get along with them very well. Very friendly people, actually. Very nice. Some of the women, I mean, but the guys are generally very nice. I don't blame them. Like, rotten jobs when cleaning a taqueria at 7 in the morning. But the guys are, like, friendly, you know. It's like when I ordered the fish thing, the three fish things at 10. I couldn't wait till they open. I was there at 9:30. I had to walk around. Finally, the place opened at 10:30. Imagine the first restaurant opens at 10:30 in this mall. So I get the thing, and I say, can I get some, can I buy some cheese for my dog? I said, yeah. He said, your dog likes cheese? No, he said, we can't sell you. I just make believe it's an aside. Okay, he looks in the computer, 59 cents for cheese. He said, well, you have the chopped up cheese. Said, okay, give me the chopped up cheese. How much is it? 59 cents for a little cup. Then he gives it to me. I don't mind paying. I'm not looking for a freebie. So he's like, he says to me, your dog likes cheese? I said, yeah. He said, you know, it's the only dog I ever heard of that likes cheese. I said, oh, my dog likes cheese, man. And he fed the dog. He loved that cheese in the morning. He said, I eat, he's got to eat. I mean, that's how I killed my last dog. I eat, they eat. I eat, they eat. I eat, they eat. 9 years old, the dog almost died of a stroke. But eventually she lived on a couple of more years when they put her on a strict, like a marine diet, like a Bataan Death March diet, saved my last dog, a Sheltie. She was dying from overeating. I couldn't help it. I feel bad. If I'm eating and a dog's looking at me salivating, what can I do, starve it? I eat, they eat. You know, little pieces. So I gave him the cheese. He was happy. He can still jump like, the dog is this 10 pounds. He can leap up to my stomach in one fell swoop. He's like a lynx, that dog. What genes that dog has, Teddy. Whoo, like a lynx dog. So I leave the car. The Hellcat, the first new car I had. So number one problem, the rugs are dirty already. Just from walking outside and stepping on the carpets, I ruined them with the shoe. That's A. And that's day one. No, day three. I didn't even drive it. Then I park at the end of the parking lot. It's like an empty football field. The whole time I'm walking around the taco, I'm worried. Is someone going to park next to me and hit the door? So all I was thinking about, I said, I just know my luck. No matter where I park it, Even as the end of the parking lot, some SOB is going to, like, target that car and say, who does that guy think he is with a new car, putting it over there to avoid having his door dinged? I'm going to park next to him and ding his door. That was on my mind. Now, I mean, I realize that that's probably paranoia, right? Am I the only one who's ever thought of that? I doubt it. The entire time I was protective of, like, a door ding. I once called this ding neurosis. Does anyone out there suffer ding neurosis with their cars? Everyone in America, except Michael Moore. But the thing is, everyone with a new car is ding neurosis the whole time you park. You're calculating. You come back, and if you see a car too close to you, your eyes turn red. And you march, like suddenly you speed up, and like you do an analysis down the side of your car with your eye, like you eyeball it. You say, if there's so much as a nick in my car, get the key ready. You know what I'm saying? Get out that army knife for for the tires. Now you're mine. I'm not saying you're going to do it, but you do think it. How are you going to get even if someone dings a new car and they're not in their car? What would you do? Can't do anything. What, you're going to hurt their car? Yell at it? How dare you ding my car? No, I'm saying it's on your mind. It's like crazy. Come back. So I finished. I got the tacos, fed the dog, da-da-da, watched the family. Come back to the lot. I look all across the lot. I had to find it. Now already it's like an hour later. Cars are like filling up. So I said, my luck, I'm sure someone's right next to mine. And I'm already cursing already as I'm walking. That son of a gun, he had to find my car. A whole lot like this. I'm sure some, of course, no one was near it. Not a car within 10 cars of it. Got in, fired it up, engine turns over, roar. They don't even know what it is. They have no idea. They thought it was like a car with a broken muffler. The people are so stupid, it's frightening. Then I go to Barnes & Noble, again, averting the bestseller rack, because I had my 5 weeks. I'm not complaining. I don't have them now. And I buy, like, magazines. So this is like, and then I'm going to have to take a break, of course, to make some money for them. So the magazines I bought are Hemmings Motor News, Sea Magazine, All Aboard for Alaska. I'll never go to Alaska. I sold my boat 2 years ago. I'm never buying another one. I already had. How many years alone on the bay? How much can I take of it? Flying Magazine, the Embraer Legacy 500, high-tech wonder plane. I like to read about, like, private jets. Military History, King Warrior Crusader, Richard the Lionheart, clawed out a fierce victory at Jaffa. Military History, I love this magazine. And then I bought like a weird, like right-wing nut magazine, Military Surplus, Battle Classics, Combat Relics under $400. And I saw like World War II Sniper Rifle, the M1903A4, Jungle Carbine Mark 1.303, Tojo's Garands. I got off and like looking at, I could buy all these things. Like guns from World War II with wood stocks. Here's the one I really want to get. Look at this one. Sanctions, no more Russian rifles. For now, this original piece of history can still be yours. Due to the Russia-Ukraine conflict, the few in our warehouse are the last. Price was rising on them. So they're selling now the Mosin M9130 PU sniper rifle, which was made specifically for snipers at Stalingrad in 1942, including Vasily Zaitsev. He was the great sniper, by the way, if you ever saw that. Vasily Zaitsev. Standing next to Galifin Abzalov, who introduced him to sniping. You see the Russians in it. And it's his rifle. Not his exact rifle, but I couldn't believe the primitive scope on that gun compared to what we have now. And they were able to knock off a German from I don't know how many yards in rubble, right? Like I have that gun. What am I going to do with it, though? Put it on a stand? Am I just going to open and close it and grease it? It's just like a weird magazine, like... I like looking at history, even gun history, like beating up old Woodstocks. Not Woodstock. Not beating up old Woodstock generationers. I'm Woodstocks, not Woodstockers. Marin County's filled with beating up old Woodstockers. Now, I'm talking about the Military History magazine filled with beating up old Woodstocks of rifles. The Johnson Auto Carbine. And then they showed like various machine guns and their rate of fire. The British Sten, the grease gun. The Browning automatic rifle, the Russian PPS H-41, then the Thompson, the favorite of the mafia, the M3-1A grease gun. Just little things, like fun bathroom reading. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, let me go to the callers immediately on the Savage Nation. Line number one, go ahead. You got a minute to fire away on the Savage Nation. Name, city, topic.
Chris, WABC, New Jersey. And my topic is entertainment and film.
Well, go ahead. You got 56 seconds now.
So I want to talk about the things about Michael Moore. I'm also a film student in the New York City area. I wouldn't like to disclose exactly which school, obviously.
Sorry to hear that.
Going back about what you said regarding, you know, what will it take for the American people to wake up? I think sometimes, actually, unfortunately, people my age don't listen to radio as much as they should and listen to people like you. So I think maybe...
Of course not. They've been told that I'm not worth listening to. Instead, they watch... What do they listen to? Who do they listen to? Who do they... Where do they get their ideas from?
CNN, Fox News.
Well, all right, fine. But, I mean, they can also once in a while listen to the Savage Nation. They may learn something else.
Well, they don't think radio exists, I don't think.
Yeah, well, they'll find out. Still a very powerful medium, and I'm number one in streaming radio. Stay on the line. I'll take your call on the tail end of the reversal.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is me, it's Michael Savage. It's Monday, I'm working, I'm not a vacationing federal employee. I'm not on the golf links. What are you doing, like 2:30 on West Coast time? What would you do if you're off today? Where would you, you'd have a lunch, you would be drunk? Let's say you got an average American guy on his day off. He has like a little drink in the morning, just a mimosa, orange juice and something, like drunk. Then he has lunch, drinks again, oh, just a couple of glasses of wine, drunk. Now mix that with Prozac. Now what's he waiting for, dinner? That's going to go out, that's his big day off, dinner now. A bad Indian restaurant somewhere in San Francisco. I had the worst last night. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on another bad meal. One after the other. They're all cutting back on food quality. Everywhere I go, every restaurant I used to go into, they're cutting back on food quality. Maybe it's expensive and they don't want to raise price. I never saw anything like it. The places I used to like boast about, I won't even tell you to go there anymore. Forget about it. I don't go there. I can't take it. Everything is like, used to be two pieces of fish. It's one. Vegetables, and I count the amount of vegetables you put on the side. Eat there 40 years, I got like three string beans. I said, well, where's the vegetable? You give me more for $3. I mean, unbelievable. But last night was the topper. I went into an Indian in the city. First of all, I almost fainted from the pine saw on the floor. I was like walking into like a, I never smell anything like this. I got there early, admittedly, 5 o'clock with a friend of mine, right? I fainted. I opened the door. A waft of a pine saw hits me in the face. So I said, what are you doing? I mean, I have to eat here. I have people coming. They don't know what I'm talking about. They speak Hindi. I don't know what they speak, Hindi or whatever. They're nice people. I said, open the door. Let air in. I had to explain it 8 times. Open the door. Door, open, pull, thing, stopper. I come back, you know, like sign language. They're nice people, but I said, I cannot eat here. They don't know what I'm saying. So 10 minutes later, my friend arrives. I had to go to the back of the restaurant to get away from the pine saw smell. I was going to die in there. Then I had call in advance because I have no patience for restaurants. I hate it. Ask anyone with me. I don't have patience to sit in restaurants. I ordered in advance. What? Not the whole meal. Give me naan bread. Give me the prawn, whatever, and the vindaloo, shmandaloo, handaloo, whatever. Anything. Just put it on the table. So I'm not sitting like a yold for 30 minutes waiting for a glass of water. I sit down. The owner isn't even there, and the food isn't there. Nothing. I'm fuming. My eyes are tearing. My throat is going out. And one thing gets worse after another. One thing after another goes bad. Well, finally the meal comes. And this is an upscale Indian. I'm not going to the one where I almost got killed by the drug dealer's dogs. That's over with off the highway. Forget it. Put an X through that Motel 6 Indian. Never again. Not even takeout. You got to go with an armed guard, with an armed personnel carrier to take food out from there now. I see like trucks on the side of the road. Looks like it's out of Deliverance. This is an upscale place in the city. And I order like the grilled platter, $26.98. I know it's okay, fine. I know you got to pay for the rent. I know it's going to have like one prawn, one piece of fish, one like roll of lamb, which always looks like a turd to me, which I don't eat because I don't like the way it looks. I mean, I can't eat lamb. Give me a lamb chop. I don't like rolled up meat because I don't know where it came from. I always leave it in the plate. And then like a piece of chicken. The meal comes out sizzling, right? That's the big deal. Sizzling from the hot. Don't touch it. With the wooden bottom. The whole thing is covered with like a Safeway chicken leg, a thigh, that costs like 39 cents in Safeway. That was $28.95. I didn't say anything because I know this guy. He's driving me crazy. He's there all the time about my dog. He's, oh, your dog was brown last time. I said, no, it's always been gray. It's the same dog. It's Teddy. Oh, no, no. He says, I remember you came in here. It was a nice dog, a brown dog. I said, he was not brown. He's never been brown. He's always been gray. And he doesn't let me eat. So I ate the food. I left over the chicken leg, and I left over the turd on the plate, whatever, the lamb roll. I ate nothing for $28.95. So I said to him very quietly, he said, how's everything? I said, do you normally always serve chicken legs in the grilled platter? Yes. He says, is anything wrong? I didn't say anything. I've gotten very American, very white about it. The old days, I would have told him what I thought. Now I don't say anything. All I do is ask the questions. He knows it was something wrong. I'm like, yeah, I need a Safeway thigh for $28.95. I couldn't have stayed home and bought one. That put an X through that joint. And the seats. You know what's happening is the infrastructure's going. These guys have been in business like 20 years or more. Wherever I go. And the restaurants, the chairs are worn out. Like you see, like the seat cushions are like broken. The floors are dirty. The furniture's rotten. I don't want to go there anymore. What's the point of that? Well, because I'm hearing Indian music in the background. I'm going to have a Safeway chicken thigh for $28. Forget about it. Then the conversation devolved very bad with a friend of mine. Awful. Argument. He had one martini. He got nasty. No, certain people can't drink. It's a nice guy. I know him forever. But like if he drinks, oh, forget about it. The end of the meal, this guy I know forever, nicest guy in the world, doesn't listen to my radio show and doesn't read my books, but he's still my friend. That was true up until yesterday. He says, oh, the radio show's at an inconvenient time. I said, really, it's not inconvenient for millions of people, but my best friend it's inconvenient for? Then I said, you didn't read my book. He said, you didn't send me one. That was number two. That was number two bingo. Now here comes number three bingo. As I'm leaving, he pulls out a rolled up sheet of paper, like folded up, and he says, here, this is something you should have. I said, what is it? I said, I have four producers. I don't need it. He says to me, look at what's in the Quran. Like I said, you discovered that? It's been in five of my previous books. He said, oh, you're a person who no one can tell anything to. That was it. Put an X through that. Let's go to the callers. Line one. Welcome to the program. Welcome back. What's on your mind?
I was just making my point about I think we need a documentary or some sort of film to change the political landscape, because obviously people like Michael Moore and Michael Dornov and Seth Rogen can really influence a lot of young people. So I think
But Seth Rogen's had his day. He's finished. He's old. Seth Rogen was funny in the beginning. He was a certifiably funny new face. He thinks he's a leading man now. And once he thought he was a leading man, he was no longer interesting. Am I right?
Oh, you're very correct. And
that's my analysis. Seth Rogen was funny when he was a fat slob in like those, you know, like post-adolescent movies done by that guy in Hollywood. I forget the director, whoever his name is. Seth unappetizing. Seth unappetizing. Used to do those funny movies, but they've all become old now and jaded. They're not doing funny movies anymore. And this guy, like Seth Rogen, wanted to be cast as a leading man in a movie. He can't be. You know, it's like Lou Costello could never become a leading man. It's the same thing. Play the fat guy and leave me alone already. But now he comes out and attacks American Sniper because he's jealous. Because his movie flopped. But I do appreciate it. I mean, you do have to make movies. Someone has to make them. I'm not going to make them. 855-407-282. That opens up a line in Savage Nation. 855-407-282. 855-407-282. Let's take another quick call or two here. I can't get any from San Francisco. Does everyone here work for the federal government? Look, I don't know who's calling, but it seems like everyone in the Bay Area is on vacation now. Where are they getting drunk in Napa Valley? So there you go, the wine country. It's all in. So I go to the Statue of Liberty. Everyone visits here. Well, what do you want to do? Oh, no, let's go to the wine country. Oh, it's very interesting. That's very exciting. You know, drive like 80 of them. Let's go to the wine country. Stand like an automat for wine. Gee, I'm going to go to the wine. What'd you do in the wine country? You couldn't do in a grocery store on Ellis Street. What'd you get there that you couldn't get in a grocery? I don't understand what the appeal is of the wine country. I'm not knocking it, but why go there? It's a big tourist attraction. They think they're going to, get the authentic wine? The same stuff as in a bottle down on Ellis Street. All right. They think the mustard fields. They're like, very beautiful to watch in the autumn as the mustard comes up in the fields. You know what I like about the wine? The only thing I like about the wine country, like driving through, I haven't been there in years. It's like New Yorkers don't go to the Statue of Liberty. I don't go to the wine country. That's a terrible truth. There's nothing wrong with it. I just don't go. I mean, New York is, it's Statue of Liberty. Yeah, I'm going to go to the Empire State Building if I live in Manhattan. It's like so geeky. So I don't go to the wine country. There's nothing wrong with it. But I used to like driving through it when the grapes were gone and just seeing like the organized stakes. You know, the mathematical organization of a vineyard. Unbelievable. Going on and on for like hundreds and hundreds of yards. sometimes like seems like miles, Alexander Valley. It's like you drive up and down. It's like organized. How do they get those stakes in exactly the right place? It's very tough to do when you think about it. The machine done, like stay exactly the right. Now you angle. It's very. Cause I used to like to eat on a captain's plate when I was a kid. I like organized things. I put shoes under my bed. Everything has to be in order. I get freaked out. That's why I like vineyards, like organized, bridges organized, buildings organized. I hate disorganization. Disorder and early sorrow, I always say. Yes, indeedy. Do you ever eat a captain? You know what a captain's plate is? Everything comes back to food with me. When my kids were young, they liked captain's plates. When they're very young, you know what a captain's plate is? It's called a captain's plate for a reason. It's a plate with, like, how do you, like, it's hard to put it in words. It's like a plate that's cast with hollows in it for various foodstuffs. So, like, let's say there's four hollows in it. One for the meat portion, one for the mashed potatoes, one for the green peas, like, and one for the, you know, for the green beans. Kids like it because it's like, okay, there's the green, there's the red, there's the yellow, there's the meat, right? Kids like the organization. Then you can, like, grade them on how much they ate from each of the little pieces of the plate. Because otherwise kids tend to mix things together. It's a you know, it's like a mess. They like, it helps them eat. They don't make captain's plates anymore. With the advent of psychoactive drugs, kids don't even want organization. They want everything to be confused, like their minds. I'll be right back. It's the set. Oh, no, 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 no. It's much too early. Went on an early break. Let me look at a headline here on her, the monster from Argentina. Where is she from? I don't know what country she's from. Argentine prosecutor who claimed government cover-up found dead. Everything indicates it was suicide. That's on the top of the Drudge Report. But that wouldn't make it to your local paper, because if Drudge linked it, it must be a right-wing lie that this left-wing leader killed anybody. See what I'm saying? How could a woman leader have killed anybody? Think about it if you live in Nancy Pelosi's backyard or Dianne Feinstein's backyard and you only read the San Francisco newspaper, what once was a newspaper. Argentine prosecutor accused Cristina Kirchner over 1994 bombings of synagogue found dead. Alberto Nisman, who on Monday was due in Parliament to present his case against President Cristina Kirchner, found dead days after warning, I could end up dead because of this. She's like the cute one, you know, like the brown hair, the nice smile. It's like the Hillary Clinton of Argentina. Very, very, you know, very smiley. Nice hairdo, big smile, cat eyes, the death stare. Alberto Nisman was due to present his case, Ms. Kirchner, right, dead. Argentine prosecutor accused President Cristina over Iran's involvement in the country's worst ever terror attack, ad about against a synagogue. That killed me 18 times until you find out they were trying to bomb a synagogue back in the 80s. He spent 10 years investigating the 1994 bombings of a Buenos Aires Jewish center, which killed 85 people. And it goes right up to the connection to Iran. He accused the president of his country, the woman president, Cristina Kirchner, of covering up Iran's involvement in the terror attack way back when. He said he could get knocked off for dead. They said he shot himself. Yeah, okay. Nice. That's the country down there. So I don't go to South America. I don't trust anything down there. I know that you got tango and food. I don't go to those countries. You know it's lawless. No matter who's running, it's always like a coup. I don't trust them. Left, right, center. You know, it's like always like a coup. Any minute, like the jackboots could break your door down and plant drugs on you. I know. You're going to go to Argentina? What for? I always wanted to go to Buenos Aires, or like the New York or the South America. Who needs it? When I go to New York, I go to New York. Or better yet, I'll go to downtown San Francisco for 10 minutes and run home. Now I can take a break. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CON. ISIS has doubled its land in a few months, and King Hussein of America does nothing. Didn't make it to the San Francisco newspaper, but ISIS has doubled its land in a few months. A million more Syrians are under the rule of these genocidal maniacs, growing like a cancer, and King Hussein does nothing here in America except attack the Tea Party. Hey, what can I tell you? You'll wake up one day. You'll wake up one day, it's likely to be 1,000 degrees over one of our cities. And you'll say, how could it have happened here? We have such wonderful drug addicts, or wonderful politicians running America. Here, Charlie Hebdo editor blasts media for cowardice. Release captives reveal inhumane brutality of ISIS. Oh, I don't want to read it. It's too depressing. NYPD may yank terrorism report to appease Muslim critics. It's crazy. It's a world upside down. By the way, the scholarship contest goes on. And if you want to enter it, the Savage Paul Revere Society's What Does It Mean to Be an American Essay contest, you go to michaelsavage.com. Yes, you type in michaelsavage.com for your kid, for your stoner laying there in the bedroom. And no, you have him or her do it. And you click on the left and you see the rules. That's all. The contest opened the other day, January 15th. It closes March 31st. Each winner will get $20,000, five winners, straight up, Emmis, nothing fake. I'm not getting anything out of it. And it's an essay on a topic of what it means to be an American, period. And I'm the sole judge. It's my contest, my money, so I'll be the judge. If you don't like it, then go into How to Hate America contest by Reverend Al Sharpton. Yeah, you could win an award over there. Why You Hate America by Al Sharpton. I haven't seen that award yet, have you? No purchase necessary to enter a win, void, or prohibited, valid in the 59th state. No, you should enter. Anyway, today's been a good show. How I've gone from I have a dream to I have a scheme. Play it now so they hear what I've done at the beginning of the show. For those who
I have a dream. One day, this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
I think Cracker is a certain personification of a certain type of person down south, just like Redneck.
Though this nation has proudly thought of itself as a ethnic melting pot, in things racial, we have always been, and we, I believe, continue to be, in too many ways, essentially a nation of cowards.
For the first time in my adult lifetime, I'm really proud of my country.
And when you look at what's happened in law enforcement across the country over the last several years, that's not news to African Americans. What's different is simply that some of it's now videotaped.
God damn America, that's in the Bible. Citizens as less than human.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
Well, I still have that dream of MLK Jr. I heard him speak live. And if only we could get black leaders whose content of character equaled that of the Reverend, boy, what a great country it would be. But I don't think so. I don't think King Hussein's content of character would measure up to you. Anyhow, it's the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be back, infidels.
Savage.